Hello.
So first off, I got to get something off of my chest. I did not steal that donkey. I, let's say, borrowed it. And it wasn't even my idea, okay? Jesus told me to take the donkey. Borrow the donkey. Earlier today, we were walking from Bethany to Jerusalem, and, you know, there was this whole crowd of us. And then Jesus looks to the two of us, and he says, just inside that village, there's a donkey. I need you two to go get it. And if anyone asks about it, say, it's for the Lord. So we went to go get this donkey, and the whole time, me and this other guy were like, what exactly is Jesus going to do with this donkey? But we had learned not to second guess Jesus. So, you know, we're walking along, and we go, and there's this donkey. So we get the donkey, we bring it back to Jesus, and would you know, that's when it happened. All right, let me tell you about it. All right, so some of the folks in this crowd, they start throwing their coats up on the donkey. And then of all the things for Jesus to do, he gets up on the donkey. And, okay, so how do I explain this? So when he got up on the donkey, that's when it happened. Everyone was cheering. There was dancing. People were throwing their coats on the ground in front of this donkey. Some of us grabbed these palm branches from the trees and started waving them in the air. And when I saw it, it clicked. Jesus had finally arrived. Okay, let me explain that. So every time we would start to get excited about a miracle or a parable or something like that, he would always tell us, be quiet about it. And we'd say, well, let's do this and that. I mean, that was amazing. And he would say, no, now's not really the time. But today was now. Today, Jesus showed us, and it was loud. He let us shout and wave and dance in the streets and jump up and down. He let us finally treat him like he was the Messiah that we were waiting for. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or in the weeks to come. It feels like it's going to be huge. But whatever it is, it'll be good. We're going to be okay now because Jesus showed up today, and there is nothing better than when Jesus shows up.
Good morning. Welcome to Bethany, this beautiful, kind of beautiful Sunday morning. We're celebrating the great procession into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. Take a moment. I want you all to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes with me. Picture it. People are walking before Jesus, and they're shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Earlier, Jesus had had two of his disciples get a donkey that had never been ridden for him to ride. So he got on the donkey, and he's walking on the cloaks and the palm branches that have been thrown on the path so that he wouldn't kick up any dust on himself. They're shouting Hosanna because they thought he was going to become the king who would free them from the Romans. I can feel the excitement. Can't you?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. King of Israel, welcome to our hearts.
here to reign in righteousness. O ruler of the world, ruler of our hearts, now ascend your throne. You are the King of kings, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
To Jerusalem, to the sons of man, riding on in gentle strength. Oh, come to save your own, come to give your life, the kingdom is at hand. You are the King of kings, Hosanna.
Jesus knew this would be the last week of his life. So he spent a great deal of this time trying to prepare his disciples for his imminent death, teaching them the importance of serving one another and sharing glimpses of the future with them. Imagine how they felt when they reflected on this time with him after his death. They knew he was the Son of God, the Messiah and Savior, but he was also their friend. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Good morning, Father. Please forgive us this morning any sin that is keeping us apart from you, and we thank you for that forgiveness. We pray right now, Lord, you'll help us to share that forgiveness with everyone, because it is so important, especially in this world filled with strife. Help us to be a light in an ever-darkening world, Lord. Holy Spirit, please come, fill this place. Let us feel your presence, Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Help us to be Jesus to someone else today. And we pray all this in Jesus' holy name, our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend.
Well, at this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's time. Oh, no. My donkey lost his head.
His head?
It fell off. So you might have gotten a make a donkey kit this morning, and this is my little donkey. So, and of course, we're talking about donkeys for a reason, right? Yeah, because when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he was riding on a donkey. Yeah, he was riding on a donkey. But you know what? The thing is, when donkeys get scared, do you know what they do? They stand very still. They just don't want to move. They put their ears back and they freeze. And so I wonder what it was like for those two disciples when they had to go and get this donkey that had never been ridden before. I think maybe they had to give it some carrots or something it really liked to eat to make it come with them because it didn't know them. Oh, donkeys eat carrots. Yes, they like carrots. They do. But it went with the disciples. It was a very, very brave donkey. Because when Jesus came along riding the donkey, people were waving their palm branches and throwing them on the ground and putting their coats on the ground, and they were cheering. They were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And, you know, I think that Jesus was there, and he somehow could communicate with that donkey and say, "It's okay. There's nothing to be afraid of as long as I'm with you." And so that very brave donkey rode into Jerusalem with Jesus on his back. And it reminds me that when Jesus is with us, we have nothing to fear. And we can be just as brave as that very brave donkey. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Thank you for letting us celebrate you. It's so wonderful. We just want to have a parade in our hearts. So help us to love one another the way you love us. Amen. And I'm going to dismiss you to go to children's church.
The scripture today is coming from Mark 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'What are you doing? Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'"
They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it.
Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Isaiah 54:9. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word."
Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught.
"The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward.
I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insulting and spitting.
The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame.
He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me?"
"Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me."
"It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?"
"All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up."
Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we celebrate this day, Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. We celebrate the parade, even as we know that in less than a week, Jesus is going to the cross. So, Lord, help us as we consider this. Be with us in the meditations of our hearts. Be with us as we consider where it is you are calling and claiming us today. Amen. When I think about this passage of Scripture from Mark and the way it's repeated in the other Gospels, we don't know who those two disciples were that were put on donkey duty that day as they gathered outside of Jerusalem. All three of the Gospels mention that, you know, Jesus was entering the city and that there were two disciples sent out to get this donkey. But I'd like to imagine that it was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, since not long before they had pulled Jesus aside and asked him to let them have the best spots, the spots at his right hand and his left hand, the places of honor and power. Hey, when it's time for you to rule over your kingdom, give us the top spots, they said. And Jesus tells them they don't know what they're asking. He goes on to say, are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say, we are able, we are able. Of course, James and John didn't really know what they were asking when they pulled Jesus aside. They think they are asking for glory and power and recognition. And when the other disciples realize what these two are up to, they get angry, they get upset. But Jesus uses this as a teaching moment. He says to them that there are some who are rulers who lord it over those who are less powerful. But he says it has to be different for the people who follow him. For his followers, whoever wishes to become great among you must become a servant. And so I imagine that as they approach Jerusalem, Jesus might have reminded James and John the lesson about servanthood that he had been teaching them earlier. And maybe he sent them out to get a donkey that had never been ridden, put them on donkey duty. Now, donkeys are not particularly known for being cooperative. I read something, expert animal behaviorist Ben Hart says that donkeys are not stubborn. I heard something else from someone else this morning who said, I don't know about that. But this person, Ben Hart, he says that they're cautious. You know, when they see something they don't recognize or that they think might be dangerous, even if it's not dangerous, they will freeze up. They won't want to move. And they get startled easily. But they don't run. They stay still, which is why if you want to travel safely, you travel on a donkey. Because a horse will shy and rear and run off in whatever direction it takes its fancy. So here is Jesus. Here is Jesus. And perhaps he told his followers why he was riding a donkey, that conquering kings ride war horses, but the ones who come in peace ride on a donkey. And this is, well, the upside-down kingdom of Jesus sends people out to get an animal that requires gentleness and patience to make it mind. A reminder that real followers serve. They even do donkey duty. Of course, we don't know which disciples were sent to find the donkey for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem, but whoever it was, that was their mission for the day. That's what they were supposed to do. And I imagine that it was quite a spectacle as Jesus rides into the city and the crowd shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna, meaning Savior or save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven. And the people laid their cloaks down on the ground and they put the branches before him. They believe Jesus will save them. No one seemed sure exactly how he was going to do it. They thought, well, you know, he's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. He is the son of David. He'll do something amazing. Amazing things. Earlier, Jesus had said to the disciples and the crowd around him that whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And what does it mean to take up the cross? It's clear what it meant to Jesus. It meant that even though the religious hierarchy was plotting to kill him, he was going to enter the city boldly. He was not going to sneak in under the cover of dark. He was going to come right down the main, well, not the main road, but towards the back gate with everybody cheering and shouting and making a commotion. But he knows that by Friday, they'll be yelling, "Crucify him." The night before his crucifixion, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Carrying the cross, taking up the cross, is doing the task that God sets before you. Know this. Jesus Christ took up the cross and died for you. He didn't die for you and me so that we could have a nice life or a comfortable life. He died to set us free from sin, but it also placed a claim on each of us. If you want to follow him, if you want to follow him, you have to take up the cross. And that will mean putting something down. And for everyone, that'll be something different. But if you're holding on to something so tightly that you cannot serve another, then you need to put it down. Mike Slaughter says that real worship involves sacrificing. Something has to die. The kingdom that Jesus is about leads to a cross, not a throne. It is about serving. We know what happened to Jesus' disciple, James. We know what happened to James, son of Zebedee. Remember, Jesus asked him, "Are you able to drink this cup I drink?" James said he was able. And as it turns out, he was the first disciple to be martyred. Most likely this happened because he was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we are less sure of what happened to his brother John, but tradition holds that he was the last surviving apostle, the author of the Gospel of John, and the disciple who took Mary, the mother of Jesus, into his home. Two brothers, two very different fates. God gives each of us a talent and a task. And at the center of today's scripture, there is one other person. We don't know his name or what he looked like. We only know what he gave. He gave a donkey for Jesus to use on that morning that he entered Jerusalem. Did the owner of the donkey have any idea that this generosity would be used for such a noble purpose? Did it occur to him that God was riding his donkey that day? All of us have a donkey of some kind, something that, if given to God, could move Jesus' story a little further down the road, could maybe let someone else know about God's deep love. Maybe you sing, or you can program a computer, or you can sew a mask, or you can write a check. But whatever it is, that's your donkey. And God's asking for it. that person who gave the donkey is just one in a long line of folks who gave little things to God. And God took those little things and made something great out of them. Maybe you need to put something down so you can give your donkey to God. Amen. Well, it is good to see everyone this morning. There were a lot of moving parts to this service, and so I am so thankful for everyone who contributed their piece to it, to make it happen, whether that was through offering or presence or video savvy or all of those other things. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless all that was given so that we might glorify you this day. Lord, help us through all that we say and do, glorify you. May our lives be worship to you, and all that we do be in your service. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. We are going to have the Easter egg hunt next Sunday after the service, and I think we're still collecting. No, we are not. Oh, I am being told that we have enough candy and eggs. Okay, all right. Okay, so we are good on that point. So just come, bring kids so they can do the Easter egg hunt. Also, we are collecting for Valley Mission, and we have in the happenings, you'll see the list of things that we're taking up, cleaning supplies and sandwich bags and things like that. And I think we might still be looking for some people who want to mow the grass in the spring and the summer. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Okay. I know prayer concerns, we have some folks that we definitely want to be in prayer for. I'm checking to see if we got any more. No, we did not get more prayer concerns on the prayer line, which, by the way, we have not been saying the number, but it is 540-495-0501. If you are watching by video or you're in the parking lot. We want to be in prayer for Judy Faby. She has is having rehab at the Valley. Mennonite Retirement Community. Yes, okay, she is there, and will be there for a little while. We want to be in prayer for Mary Tyree. She is at UVA Hospital and will be having bypass surgery on Monday. So definitely keep Mary in your prayers. And also, okay, where'd my other piece of paper go? We want to pray for a friend of Nancy Colvin's, Matt Fouts. He broke his femur, and then test results indicate that he has osteosarcoma. So please be in prayer for Matt. Do we have any other prayer concerns? Be in prayer for Jan? All right, we'll continue to be in prayer for Jan. And Dennis Meyer also, I believe. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, gracious God, divine Creator, you know us so well. You know us, and you know that there are times when we are not necessarily consistent, when we are not necessarily devoted. But Lord, help us to turn to you at all times. Help us to look to you for our strength. Gracious God, you know that on that Holy Week so long ago, one minute the people were adoring and enthusiastic, and the next they are gripped by anger. Lord, you know that we go through the ups and downs of life. But we are thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and always. Lord, thank you that your faithfulness is unchanging. Your love is unwavering. You never deviate from your purposes. and that you came to save us. Lord, help us to be assured of our salvation through you. Help us to know that we are to serve one another because of all that you have done for us. You showed us how to love deeply and well. Gracious God, continue to make us into the body of Christ in the world. It is in his name that I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Our temptation. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not unto temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Let us stand as we're able as we prepare to sing our next hymn.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, why riches gain I count but lost, and for contempt gone all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross! Oh, the wonderful cross! Bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here, by grace draw near and bless your name. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were draw near and bless your name.
One thing I forgot to mention was that this Friday, on Good Friday, we will be having the Journey to the Cross stations, and that'll be from 5 to 6:30 right here. And then there'll be a virtual service broadcast at 6:30. When you go forth in the knowledge that you are so loved that the Son of God died for you. May you go forth to share that deep love with others. Amen.